So this morning, I want to encourage you and also warn you to embrace your call. What I mean by that, a call in the scripture is an invitation. So when God calls people into salvation, he invites them into salvation. When God calls people into ministry, he invites them into ministry. See, God doesn't force his will on anyone. He invites it. So embrace your call. Embrace the invitation that God is giving. So for all of us, it's going to look different. First of all, it's for salvation. God's call, his invitation first is for salvation. The scripture says that many are called, but few are chosen. The invitation goes out to everyone, but only a few respond. But beloved, I want to be a people who say yes to God. And honestly, that's the whole point this morning. Say yes to Jesus. If it's for coming into salvation, say yes. If it's for moving forward into things that God's speaking into your life, say yes. Can we just be done? Or do we need to go further? Like, if we got that, we're good. Just say yes to the Lord. Embrace your call. See, there's two things that the Lord invites us to. He invites us first to be who God wants us to be, and then to do what God wants us to do. So to be who God wants us to be, and then to do what God wants us to do. I want to read kind of the theme verse for our church. It just seems to be a verse that we often visit. And I feel like this is one of those verses that we're going to go back to again and again. For consider your calling. Remember, consider this invitation that you received to follow Jesus. Not many of you were wise, according to worldly standards. Not many powerful, not many of noble birth. But God chose. God chose. Beloved, you need to know that you've been chosen. Isn't that awesome? God picked you. A few weeks ago, we talked about this, that you are God's first choice. God chose you. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God chose. This has nothing to do with you. This is the goodness of God. And that's an awesome thought, but you need to know that that's something that you have to say yes to. You have to say yes to God's choice. And one of my callings as a pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4 is talking about, and I feel more and more convicted that one of the ways that looks like is that one of my jobs is to convince you again and again and again that you are called, that you are chosen, and it's not just special people who do work in the kingdom of God. It is all of us. Why? Because God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And beloved, that's us. Thank God it's us. He chooses us. He calls us. He invites us into this work. So my hope is, and we've talked about this as, again, we gather and we scatter. We gather together as the people of God. We meet with Jesus. We get our eyes focused again on who God is. We get to hang out with each other. We get to worship together, hear from the Word together. And then we scatter. We go different neighborhoods, different communities, different jobs as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth. Everywhere we go, God chose us and invites us into that calling as we go. So what is God calling you to be? I don't want to spend too much time here, but I want to read some verses. And I'm praying that you will hear this and believe this, because these verses are unbelievable. And they're talking about you. So here's the first one, John 15:16. You did not choose me. This is Jesus talking. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Can we just sit there for a moment? Jesus, the Son of God, talking to his people. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And get this. And I appointed you. I picked you so that you should go and bear fruit. Fruit is the outflow of life. When Jesus comes into you, there's fruit. There's when a tree is connected and well nourished, there's fruit. And that's what he's talking about. If you're connected with me, you're going to bear fruit. So Jesus is saying, I picked you, I chose you so that you should bear fruit. Fruit that should abide or fruit that should remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Isn't that awesome? So, beloved, you need to know that you've been chosen, appointed by God to bear fruit. Awesome. Next verse. This is 1 Peter. And this, I want you to know that this is talking about you also. You are a chosen race. It's talking about the people of God. You are chosen. A royal priesthood. This is a kingdom of priests that we've been given, meaning that we have access to God. We don't need to go to a priest to have access to God. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. So you've been chosen. You're chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're part of royalty. Of holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's invited you out of darkness into his light. Isn't that amazing? So, beloved, you need to know that when God chooses you and he calls you, it's not just to himself, it's to the work of God. Do you see that? You're chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness. Beloved, we're followers of Jesus. We don't just know the truth. We don't just have eternal life ahead of us, but we've been invited into the mission of God. Isn't that awesome? Every single one of you. I don't care how old you are. Whether you're young or old, all of us are called by God. Amen. That's why your life is no small thing. Right? No small thing. It doesn't matter what you do for a job or no job or where. None of that's important because in the kingdom of God, you have been called and chosen to proclaim his excellencies. God has entrusted that to you. Isn't that awesome? No one should be bored as a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of this. Because of this. I mean, if his incredible love for us was not enough, the call and the purpose that he has given to us, we are blessed. Are we not blessed? This is awesome. We're the people of God. I love it. Let me read one more for you. This is Romans 8. And we know, can we just stop there? We know. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. So, beloved, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have given your life over, if you have turned away from your sin and trusted your life in Jesus, you have been not just rescued out of darkness, but you have been called according to his purpose. And part of the video that we saw is awesome. Okay, God's doing great things around the world, and God is doing great things here. He has purposes here and there. God has purposes all over the place, and there's an invitation to be a part of the purposes of God. And we have been called according to His purpose. It's not like we define the purpose and we ask God to bless it. God has purposes and is inviting us into it. And you have been called into those things. So, beloved, what I want to tell you this morning is to embrace the call. Embrace the call of salvation first, that you would be who God wants you to be, but also that you would do what God wants you to do, that you would embrace the call of God on your life. That is so special. Do you know that? I was just thinking, like, we have a higher calling than angels even. Do you realize this? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what God has done to human beings. So I want you to embrace the call. First to salvation, but also to the work that God has given to you to do. In Ephesians 2, what is Ephesians 2:10? Does anyone know what that is? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us. We are God's masterpiece, and He has called us into works. He has called us into His purposes, and He's prepared those things beforehand. And they're waiting for us. So, beloved, I want to remind you this morning to embrace your call. Don't say no to the call of God. Where this has all kind of started, I was thinking about Saul. Saul is the first king of Israel in the Old Testament. And it was after a time of judges, and the people of God were crying out for a king. We want a king, we want a king, we want a king. We want to be like other nations, we want a king. And Samuel, who was a prophet at that time, was in communion with God, and God didn't want to give them a king. It was like, a king is a bad idea, but the people are like, we want a king, we want a king. So God relented. He's like, okay, we're going to give them a king. So He chose a man named Saul. I want you to hear that again. He chose a man named Saul. This wasn't like a resume that got sent out and the most qualified participant, you know, kind of went through the ranks and was interviewed. No, God chose Saul. And I want to kind of read his story a little bit. And this comes as a warning, church. And this is kind of the heart of it. I want to encourage you, but also warn you to embrace your call. See, we really give Saul a bad rap. If you're familiar with the Bible, like we talk about these other kings, like King David. You know, King David was really special, a man after God's own heart. And we think Saul was nothing. But you need to know that the promises of God, the anointing of God, the power of God, the purposes of God were all given to Saul first. They were all to Saul first. So let's read this. 1 Samuel 9. So Samuel, the prophet, is gonna go find him. He's going to choose them. So 1 Samuel 9, verse 15. So God had told Samuel that Saul's the man. 1 Samuel 9, 15. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people because of their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, "Here is the man whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people, rule my people." So do you see that? Right from the beginning, Samuel, the man of God, the prophet, was going to anoint Saul. He was going to choose Saul to be king. And his purpose right from the beginning was to save my people from the hand of the Philistines. So the call that went out to Saul was to lead the people, what? And to save and rescue them from their enemies. That's awesome. That was his call. That's what he was supposed to do from the very beginning. He was chosen to begin to be king, and he was chosen to save the Israelites. Isn't that awesome? What a high calling. Lead the people of God and lead them to beat the enemies of God. That's what Saul's purpose was. And that's why, as you fast forward through the story of David and Goliath is so significant, because at that point, God had removed his blessing in his hand from Saul and given it to David. So here's Saul leading the armies of God against the Philistines, and they're shaking in fear because of Goliath, this great giant who is standing up against the people of God. And everyone was afraid, Saul included. Now remember, he was chosen by God to save the people from the Philistines. And you fast forward and you get to that point and he's shaking in fear and the whole people of God are shaking in fear. So what happened? What happened between the call and when David and Goliath happened, where all of a sudden unable to walk in that victory? I want to go a little bit further. 1 Samuel 10, verse 20. So it moves on. Some things are happening with Saul. God is picking him. Hold on. Let's do verse 1 through 9. 1 Samuel 10, 1 through 9. Then Samuel took a flask. This is when he's going to anoint him. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. This is Saul's head. And kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over my people Israel?" So chosen by God. "And you shall reign over the people of God, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you, the Lord has anointed you to be prince over my heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men from Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin of Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you have went to seek are found. And now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys that's anxious about you, saying, "What shall I do about them?" Because he is looking for his father's donkeys. Verse 3, "Then you shall go from there further and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men," I'm going to fast forward a little bit because that's, I need to give you a little bit more context. Okay, verse 6, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Essentially, you are going to have the Spirit of God on you. God is going to enable you to speak from God to the people, and you are going to be turned into another man. "Now, when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I'm coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you, and I'll show you what to do." When he turned back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. And when they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met them, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. Isn't that amazing? So this is Saul, the guy we dismiss. He is a man who has been chosen by God to deliver the people of God from the enemies. It says that the Spirit of God came on him. It says that it rushed on him. It says that he was given a new heart. He became a new man. Isn't that awesome? So what happened? He had everything that he needed for life and godliness. He had the call of God. He had the Spirit of God. He had the purposes of God. What happened? If that's all you knew, you would think Saul's got it made. But fast forward, and it all goes away. See, one thing you need to know about Saul was that he was always reluctant of the call that he received from God. He was always reluctant. I want to show you this. Fast forward through the story a little bit. Verse 20 of that same passage, 1 Samuel 10, verse 20. So this is when he is going to be proclaimed king. And this is kind of like the first sign you see of this issue with Saul. Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near. And the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by his clan. So he was going to, from all the people, pull out who the king was going to be. Near his clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. Essentially, he was chosen, but get this, but when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again from the Lord, is there a man still to come? And the Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. So isn't that crazy? So Saul has been anointed, chosen by God. The Spirit of God rushes upon him. He is made a new man. He has a new heart. So he is going to step into his calling. And where is he? He's hiding, nowhere to be found. He was reluctant to embrace the call that God had given to him. Beloved, you need to know that God calls us, each of us, into things. And as the people of God, we need to embrace that. We need to say yes to what God is calling us to. But Saul said no in two ways. And we can do this as well. The first way that you can say no to God is to say, I can't do this. And to be reluctant to step into the things that God is calling us to. And the second is to say, I won't do it. And beloved, you need to know this, that the first leads to the second. See, if we say, I can't, and we stay in that place, it will lead to, I won't. You see how that works? It starts with, I can't do this. And if we don't get past that, our hearts will harden and we'll actually get to the point where we eventually say no to God. We rebel against God. We say no to what God is calling us to. And our hearts become hard and we grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, you need to know this, that the things that God calls forth are always past us. So it is normal to get shaky when God calls you to do things and be like, I can't do this. But the most important decision you're going to have to make is right after that, what do you say? I want you to remember Moses. Moses is called by God. It's not because he had a sweet resume. God called him forward. And he met him at a burning bush and calls him to deliver the Israelites, to save them. And he's like, I can't do this. I can't talk. I can't speak in front of Pharaoh. God says, who gave you your mouth? Right? That stupid bumbling mouth that I gave you, I'll help you. Isn't that interesting? Moses, same thing. I can't do this. But here's the difference between Moses and Saul. Moses finally agreed with God. He finally agreed with God. Saul never quite did. He did it reluctantly. He was always kind of like, I can't, I'm always hiding, I'm always looking for approval. If you read the story of Saul, you see that he was always looking for approval from people because he couldn't embrace the call of God on his life. Beloved, this is real. This happens all the time. I have wrestled with this. If you've known my journey, you know I've wrestled with this. Feeling God's call to even this church and being like, I not like this, God. I can't. But God's saying, oh, yes, you will. But here's the deal. You can say no to God. You can say, I can't do this. But if you never get to the point where you agree with God, that will lead you to have a hard heart and will eventually lead you to a place where you say no to God. You disobey God. Saul was reluctant to agree with God, and it eventually led to his downfall. He eventually rebelled against God. He wouldn't obey God. And it was to Saul that Samuel the prophet said, this is what God was saying to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's better to obey God than do anything right. to do sacrifices and look like you're doing all the right things. It's more important to obey God. Can I simplify that? It's more important to say yes to God than to look like you're doing the right things. So, beloved, as the people of God, we're called and commissioned to agree with God, with what He wants to do. And we're going to struggle, we're going to wrestle, be like, I can't. But we can't stay there. We have to say yes to what God is doing. You might look in the mirror and say, But in your spirit, you better say yes. Because the warning is that if you say no, do you know what? He will move and find someone who will. He will move past you and find someone who will agree with him to accomplish the purposes of God. That's scary, and that's deep, and that's real. If you say no, he will move on and find someone else. How do I know that? Saul was king, and Samuel said, God was speaking to him, and it's like, you're no longer going to be king. I'm going to rip this out. I'm going to rip the kingdom away from your hands, and I'm going to give it to a man after my own heart. That's what it said before David's even on the scene. I'm going to give it to someone after my own heart. And that's why David was chosen. This little kid was chosen to be king. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. Essentially, he was a man that would agree with God. He was a man who would say yes to what God wants. He was a shepherd. It's not like being king was on his horizon. God chose him, though. Why? Because he is willing. He was willing to say yes to God. See, that's the thing. It's not about how strong you can be. It's just simply, are you willing to say yes? It's not about you. God's the one who equips those who are called. He equips you. He empowers you. He gives you his Holy Spirit. Our job is to say yes and then to walk in it. Because see, we can say yes even verbally. We can offer sacrifice, but to obey is better than sacrifice. Not give lip service, not give words of sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. We say yes by walking in it. So the question is, what is God calling you to be? What is God calling you to do? And my guess is that a lot of you know. A lot of you know. So I want to encourage you this morning to walk in it, to agree with God, and also to warn you that if you say no, he will find someone who will. Now you know. And there's no excuse, right? Now you know, and there's no excuse. See, these are important. The kingdom of God is at hand. And do you want to be part of building your kingdom here? Or are you going to be passed over? God's going to find someone. His eyes are to and fro looking for people. He's looking for people who want to say yes. That's what he's looking for, not qualified. That's why that first verse is so pertinent. Don't you remember your calling, your invitation? It's not because you had your stuff together. Because God uses the foolishness things of this world to shame the wise. Isn't God awesome? He can choose you. He has chosen you. He's invited you to say yes to his purposes, to his calling here in Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, to the ends of the world. All we have to say is yes. And I love what you were saying, whoever said that. You know, like, Our job as the Christian Mission Alliance isn't to call people, it's to affirm the call. Beloved, I want to affirm your call. Each one of you as a follower of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, is called. And I want to affirm that. And I'm praying that God would show you what that is and that you would say yes, that you would agree with God, even though it might look ridiculous. And you think, there's no way. And it's okay to say there's no way. It's okay to say there's no way. But you can't stay there. Because sooner or later, faith must rise up and we must say yes. Even though I don't see it, I agree with you. And beloved, that's for us as individuals, but also for us as a church. You need to know this. For us as a church, when God is calling us forward, or God is calling us to his purpose, and we talk a lot about 72, that God would raise up laborers into the harvest, we have to say yes to that. If we say no, you know what? He's going to find laborers. Why? Because he cares about the harvest. He cares. You know, we talk about moving from this room and eventually going there. It's not about the building. It's about people. It's about souls. It's about this county that we've been placed in. It's because God wants to do something. He's calling us according to his purpose, and our job is to be willing and say yes, to agree with God. So it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about us, that we be people who say yes. It's that simple. It comes down to obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Because this is what God is looking for. He's looking for a willing heart. That's it. He's looking for a willing heart. That we would say yes to the Lord. That we would wait on the Lord, that we would trust the Lord, that we would walk with the Lord. It's not because we're worthy. It's not because we're special. We're just called. He's invited us. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for the invitation. Thank you, Jesus. Miguel, why don't you come up? I don't want to speak for you, but this applies to each one of us. This applies to everyone. If you are an unbeliever and have not responded to the invitation of Jesus, the call is forward to you to come to Jesus, that you might find forgiveness and grace and a covering for your sins. And once you've received that, to believe it, to say yes to that. One other note, you need to agree with what God did for you on the cross. You know, that sin has been paid for. That we would say yes. Yes, my sin's covered. We don't have to live in shame. The scripture says there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we say yes to that. Our sins are covered. We agree with what God has done. Who are we to say no to God? Yeah, we do it all the time, right? Because we look in and we're like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Yeah, you aren't. But God's chosen you. Isn't that awesome? You're chosen. God's chosen you. So my question for you this morning is, what does it look like to embrace the call? Who to be and what to do? And my prayer for you in the name of the Lord is that you will say yes. Regardless of what it looks like, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are actually higher. God, I'm praying for us, and if anyone else hears this, that we would be a people who agree with the purposes of God. Amen? Nothing finer. Nothing finer. going to close in worship, and we're going to have people in the back. And if you want to pray, if you want to have someone pray for you about anything, I invite you to come back. Maybe you need to confess that you've been saying no to God because you don't see how it works. And maybe you're even rebelling against God. You've gotten a hard heart and you've said no, 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 no. And you realize that if you keep going down this road, that he's going to pass on. Father, I thank you so much for the awesome invitation that you have given us. God, thank you that it is your will that none should perish, but all should come into repentance. Every single one. God, I thank you that we are called by God. You've invited us into your purposes. And God, I ask, Lord, that you would call us into crazy things, that the stories that we'll have, we could write books about, because God is doing amazing things. He's calling us past ourselves. And Father, I pray that we will say yes to you, regardless of the cost, regardless of how it looks, regardless of how foolish it might look to family and friends and neighbors and coworkers. Jesus, we want to say yes to you. Amen? Amen. If you'd like prayer, please meet us in the back. We'd love to pray for you.